Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
And I think that's it, so I'll do a little dance until she's ready.
I cannot follow that. I can't. I was even a dance teacher and I can't follow that. So if you're a child, you probably just ran. So go have some fun with your teachers and Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Caleb. That was awesome. Wow. I tell you what. They say seasonal depression. I don't know. We don't talk enough about it, but I feel the sunshine this morning. Jesus is a lot bigger than seasonal depression. But when we're dealing with it, it can be very real. And so I'm just happy the sun came out. So if you're smiling a little bit more today, praise Jesus. I am too. Well, if this is your first time here, you may have missed last week's sermon, which was on the breath of God. It was also Easter, so it was called Resurrection Breath. And all of that should be up on our website if you did miss it and you want to hear it. I'm just going to throw this at you. There you go. I don't need a pen this morning. So our April message series is called Breathe. Everyone just take a deep breath. There we go. Now we can all go home. We just heard the sermon. How's that? No. It's on breathe. And how many know that God's breath redefines? Amen. God's breath redefines. Our theme verse is Genesis 2:7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So just like I said last week, the only difference between me and the dust of the earth, which actually is translated, or the root means rubbish or ashes, is God's breath. And how many know that when you're not breathing in God, your life can feel like rubbish, to quote our British friends, right? It's just rubbish. I feel that way, right? When I'm not welcoming God's breath into my life, into my situations, it's very easy for my life to turn to rubbish. We breathe in 22,000 times a day. That's a lot. Not a day. Oh my goodness. Not unless you're hyperventilating. That was a typo. We breathe in a lot of times a day. I don't know where that, just be grateful that my husband is in the business administration, not me, right? As we talked about last Sunday, I don't have the number of breaths we breathe a day because that's certainly not the right one. But we meet God in the exhale of surrender on the cross. Remember, we talked about the crucifixion and how Jesus breathed his last. And that was a breath of surrender to Father God, but it was also the last breath that sin had over our lives. Amen? And then we gain strength in the waiting. Between the crucifixion and Easter, there was a waiting, right? And it says those who wait on the Lord will gain strength. And so that's the waiting period in breathing. And then we breathe in, we inhale the oxygen of Holy Spirit, right? Because breath and Holy Spirit are both ruach. Isn't that incredible? It's the same word in the Bible. So breath is the sign of life. So who has been feeling kind of winded or like the wind was knocked out of you? Maybe not right now, but maybe in your life at some point, you've just felt like, wow, that came out of nowhere, right? It's very common in contact sports, right? Who's played contact sports? I'm going to put my hand down, thankfully. Okay, very good. Did you ever get the wind knocked out of you? The only time I've really gotten the wind knocked out of me in a contact sport type thing was I was playing, I think we were throwing a frisbee, which is my version of contact sports, so I'll just leave that right there. And, you know, it was coming, and I don't know if anyone remembers Noah, but he was a phenomenal worshiper here, and he was running at me, and I was running at the frisbee, and it was like slow-mo, and we both jumped, and we made this, like, crashing bam, in the air, and then we both fell backwards, and needless to say, no one got the frisbee, and I'm still not sure if I broke my toe because I can still see the difference in my toe from that experience. So being knocked out is real, right? Getting the wind knocked out of you is a very real thing. And, you know, you get it in contact sports and life is a contact sport. But you also can get it from allergies or from, that'd be some real allergies. But I know that some of us have that, maybe asthma or something like that. A sudden blow, exercise, illness. But it also can be from anxiety. Right? You can get the wind knocked out of you. And many of us have felt that, especially since 2020. And so my question is, what do you do when you get the life and the wind knocked out of you? Where do you go? And I think all of us, if we're honest, have different places that we go. And maybe it's to a very unhealthy place, like drugs or alcohol or porn or some form of an addiction. But I think the problem is that we scale unhealthy. We're like, well, that's very unhealthy, but I just go isolated. That's all I ever do. Well, that's really unhealthy too, right? And so we like to say, well, I'm not as unhealthy as they are, so I'm okay. I don't have to deal with my problem. Anyone ever thought that? Or maybe you're doing something that you're like, man, I'm so unhealthy. I have so much shame. I can't tell anybody that this is what I'm doing when I feel like the wind's knocked out of me, right? We have these extremes and we like to justify or get into shame. But I just want to say that as we're talking about it this morning, this is a listening space. This is a space to encounter God in our weakness. This is a space to let him resurrect us when we feel knocked out. Amen? So some of us have been saying, as we've been talking about the breath of God, that it's too painful for me to breathe. You're saying, Pastor, like, you're talking about breathing in God and breathing out and surrendering, and that's all great, but it's actually painful for me to breathe right now. Because when you get your wind knocked out of you, it says your diaphragm goes into a spasm and contracts painfully so that you can no longer breathe in and out properly. And some of us have gotten impacted by so much stuff in our life that we're not breathing in and we're not breathing out properly. And it's actually causing an issue. And so when I'm talking about breathing, you may not even know, you don't even want to try what I'm saying in the Bible because it actually is painful for you. And so today and next week, we're going to be doing a two-part on Ezekiel 37. I tried to put it in one sermon and I looked at it yesterday and I thought, no one's going to get anything, including myself, out of this because I crammed it all in. So I divided it into two parts, all right? So today we're going to talk about supernatural CPR, all right? And then next week we're going to talk on the second part of what that looks like, all right? So we're going to do a very practical message this morning, and I hope that you can walk away with tools that you can actually apply to your life Monday through Friday, no matter what kind of impact hits you, all right? How does that sound? So spiritual winded causes tragedy, disappointment, maybe a life season change, maybe it's bad news, or maybe it's just a suddenly. How many don't like suddenlies, right? Sometimes they're good, but oftentimes they're not so great. And so when a suddenly hits you, it can cause you to feel spiritually winded or like the wind's been knocked out of you. Some spiritual winded symptoms are having no peace of mind, right? And or maybe you're feeling hopeless, like you lost your confidence. Or maybe you're experiencing some exhaustion. And I'm not talking about physical symptoms. If you're experiencing this physically, then you need to just make sure you're okay. I'm not a medical doctor. Normally you don't have to say that from the pulpit, but I just want to put that out there. But what I'm talking about is from a spiritual standpoint, right? And so I want to get very practical today and address how to do CPR with Jesus. I heard it once, how you respond to a situation is almost always just as important as the situation itself. How you respond to a situation is almost always as important as the situation itself. Have you ever met a little kid and something happened, but it wasn't that big a deal, and they're just like the drama queen of it all, right? How you respond to a situation is almost always as important as the situation itself. Even if it's a very serious thing in your life, how we respond to it could determine what the next very serious thing in our life becomes, right? I love what Matthew 11 says. Come to me, this is Jesus speaking, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you get one thing out of the entire message today, supernatural CPR looks like going to Jesus. I don't care if you've got stuff in your hands. I don't care if you're clean or you're in the middle of a mess or you've even made some bad choices already. Just go to Jesus. And if you get one thing, just do that, all right? But we are going to break down what that can look like today. So today God wants to give you a CPR. He wants to CPR your 9-to-5s. He wants to CPR your attitudes, your mindsets, your relationships, your home life. He wants to CPR our church. How many know our region needs a CPR from Jesus, right? How about Cornell needs a CPR? Amen? How about America needs a CPR, right? There we go. If you didn't say yes to that, we'll talk. I mean, and it has nothing to do with politics. It just has to do with humanity needs a CPR. They have from the beginning. Nothing has changed, even though we all think everything's maybe getting worse or getting better or whatever you think. It hasn't changed from the beginning. We all need Jesus. And we all need a CPR. So Ezekiel 37, this was originally a vision, but we're going to talk about it as a vision for us this morning. Ezekiel 37, 11 says, "Then God said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off.'" How many know that is a very vivid description of what it looks like to be winded and like you have no air left, right? Dry bones. And the thing about that word dry, the primitive root actually means to be ashamed or confused or disappointed or withered away. So they're saying we're ashamed, we're confused, we're disappointed, we're withering away. And that word hope can also be translated as expectation. So it's saying our expectations have died. Have you ever been in a situation where you just feel like your expectations are gone? You just gave them up, right? I have definitely been there. So let's look at the picture this paints of what a CPR can look like. You're probably like, what is a CPR? So CPR, who's CPR, what is it, certified? Fantastic. We should give you a little badge. I should have put my hand down. It is a lot of people. I hope that's not prophetic for needing that, right? I asked on Facebook, I actually asked for a CPR kit. I really wanted to have a CPR kit this morning. And I was like, I need a CPR kit for my message at Thrive Church. And then I thought, that did not sound right. So then I was like, no, I promise no one will be hurt in the making of this sermon, right? I did not get a CPR kit. But imagine I have a CPR kit here. We're going to unpack it this morning, okay? And there are three things in our CPR kit that we're going to talk about. Number one is the C. Everyone say C.
C.
We have now taken our first Spanish lesson together. This is good. All right. C. C means to commit and command. All right? So remember, commit. Can you say commit? And command. All right, we're going to look at what this looks like. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley." And that word valley means ready to burst. Have you ever felt like your life is just ready to burst and that you can't breathe in, right? That's a very vivid picture of what it means to be winded. "It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, and the bones were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.'" What's interesting here is that God didn't deliver Ezekiel out of the bones. He asked him to transform the bones into a nation, right? I'll say that again. God didn't deliver Ezekiel out of the bones. He used him to transform the bones into a nation. So in every winded situation, in every situation you feel is just ready to burst in your life, there's a question. Will you commit your heart, your mindsets, your attitudes to life or to death? Will you command your soul? How many times does King David in the Psalms say, "Oh, my soul"? Right? Worship the Lord, oh my soul. He wasn't just like, oh my soul, worship the Lord. He was saying, my soul does not want to worship the Lord. I'm going to command myself to worship God. And I'm not talking about sucking it up and not dealing with what's going on. I'm just saying sometimes you got to tell yourself, we're going this direction Everything else is pulling me here, but I choose life, right? Joshua put it this way, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. In James, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, the issue is when we feel winded and we feel like the wind's been knocked out of us, we're kind of susceptible to kind of being double-minded, right? We're like, well, maybe I'll give up, or maybe I won't give up, or like maybe I should never have an expectation again. Maybe I should never trust again. Maybe I can trust, right? You kind of bounce, and dry bones know what that's like. Some of us are waiting for God to deliver us out of the very circumstances he wants to transform through us and around us. Remember, God didn't deliver Ezekiel out of the bones. God transformed the bones through Ezekiel, right? Now, I just want to do a disclaimer. I'm not speaking of abuse situations. Just want to make sure that's clear. But God can transform something through you that you think you should be delivered from. How many have wanted to be delivered from upstate New York during the wintertime sometimes, right? Some of us are blessed to be delivered. But, you know, I was talking with Pastor Caleb and Natalie the other week, and I was like, you know, what could we as a church do during winter for every person? What could we do to spread some hope, spread some joy during the bleakness of winter? Just practically, with Jesus, what would that look like? If I just want to be constantly delivered from something I'm called to be transformed with Jesus, then I'm never going to actually be able to fulfill my calling, right? And that's the problem. When we keep our eyes focused on the chaos around us in the world and we're like, Jesus, just deliver me out of here, who is going to transform the world and pray those brave, daring prayers to say, on earth as it is in heaven? God has no plan B. Right? I heard a pastor this week, I watched a clip. It was really powerful. He was like, you know, Jesus and God up in heaven, he's not looking down on this generation. And that if you're alive, you're part of this generation, to clarify. And he's not saying, wow, we've got a really weak generation on our hands. Come on, angels, we're going to have to do, maybe we skip this generation. I don't know. What's our plan? Right? That's not what God's doing in heaven. He has no plan B. We are the plan on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not to pressure you. That's not to stress you out. That's not to say it's going to be miserable. That's to say his breath is enough when we meet him in the surrender, when we wait on the Lord and gain strength, and when we breathe the Holy Spirit in every moment of our day. Amen? God cannot transform something through you that you think you should be delivered from. How about Jonah? Jonah teaches us that real clear. Jonah could not save Nineveh, right? Transform Nineveh with Jesus until, or with God, right? Until he stopped trying to be delivered, right? That's like the clearest image. But how many of us right now are in bellies of whales saying, God, what are we, like, everything is going to whatever and a whatever, right? And God is saying, wait a minute, I called you to be a transformer, right? The first sermon series of this year was called Transformers. Remember? That's our calling. That's our identity as sons and daughters. How about Moses? Moses couldn't deliver the Israelites from Egypt until he stopped hiding in the wilderness, right? How about Esther? Esther couldn't save the Jewish people until she committed her future to God completely. Right? And some of us are just standing on the fence. We're a little bit double-minded. And I'm not saying that in a condemning way, because I'm there more often than not, where I have to move to the other side, right? It's a choice. Am I going to commit to life, or am I going to commit to death? My life or this situation feels like dry bones. I need a CPR. What am I committing to in my marriage, in my finances, in my attitudes, in my relationships, in my goals, in my career? What am I committing to? Amen? Your level of hope in Jesus and surrender to him determines what is influencing your life, right? The issue is if the enemy can get you feeling paralyzed like the dry bones, then how much more can God resurrect the bones, right? I don't know if you've ever said, you know, I just don't feel like I have enough faith. You're like, maybe I don't even have a mustard seed. The problem is we do have faith because we believe that we don't have enough faith, which means we don't have a faith problem. We have a where we're putting our faith in problem, right? We always have faith. The question is, where are we putting it? Are we committing our faith to death, or are we committing our faith to life? We need a redirection. And some of us just need a revelation of that this morning, because you may have the gift of faith, right? It talks about the gift of faith in the Bible. The problem is, you might be having that entire gift of faith in the wrong direction. And that might feel like weighing you down in worry and concern and all of that, right? And God's saying, hey, I see your gift, and let's just redirect it to my character, to who I am, right? So my question is, are you playing the Game of Thrones, right? I may or may not have been at the Comic-Con yesterday doing a really awesome outreach there. We got to share a lot of God's love there. But Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you are not receiving God's mercy and grace and help in a time of need, you may be going to the wrong throne. You may need to recommit to life, to Jesus in your situation. If you're saying, man, I'm just not experiencing the mercy of God or the grace of God, I'm not talking about, you know, getting what you want. I'm talking about peace that passes understanding. I'm talking about release from bitterness when you should be really bitter from what you're going through. That's what I'm talking about when I say God's mercy and grace. If you're not receiving that and you're like, I just feel there's a block, make sure that you're going to the throne of God and not some other throne, right? Not confusion, not your past, not whatever it is. Are you following me this morning?
Yeah.
So that's the question. What are you committing yourself to when you feel winded? Number two is P. Everyone say P.
P.
God's proof from the past. So when we're feeling winded, I don't know about you, but some of us, and myself included, can get very dramatic, right? You can say things like, this is killing me, right? Anyone ever said that? Or I don't know what I said, driving me crazy, or this is making me mad, or maybe there's some other choice words that are a little more colorful that you're using over yourself, over your situation, over an individual that's involved in the situation. If you're using words like that, then again, you believe in the power of words. So that's good. You may not think you do, but you're saying stuff that would imply that you're meaning something there, right? But Ezekiel 37 says, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We're always prophesying over the bones of our lives. We're always speaking over the bones of our lives. The question is, what are we speaking? And the last point R, we're going to talk about God's word. But this one, how many know God's word is also the proof of the testimony, right, of God's character? If he did it for you, he can do it for me. And again, I'm not just talking about some result that you want, but I'm talking about the character of God that doesn't change. He is faithful. He is good, right? I love this part in John 5. Jesus said to him, get up. This is after Jesus healed somebody. Get up, pick up your pallet or your mat and walk. And immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet or mat, and began to walk. I love this because Jesus didn't say, leave your mat and just go, just be free. He said, pick your mat up and walk. Some of us need to pick up the mats of what God has healed us from. Because there's going to come a time when you come back to feeling like dry bones, when you feel winded again, and or when you're winded even right now, and you need to remember what Jesus has done for you in the past. You need your mat, right? And so this is really important. One of the reasons it's so important to get the Bible stories, how many know Bible stories aren't for kids' ministry, right? If you grew up in the church, then unfortunately, they might feel too familiar. If you didn't grow up in the church, you're like, there are a lot of stories. I don't even know where to begin, right? So you kind of have the two extremes. But I encourage you, get the Bible stories in you, because it's not kids' church. What it is getting past proof of who God is so that you can pull it out of your hat when you need a testimony in the moment. Right? Everything God can do, I haven't seen in my life yet, right? And I probably won't ever see, because all that God can do doesn't fit into my life, right? But what God can do is in that Bible. And when I can read from the Bible and speak a testimony that already exists, I can speak over my dry bones and I can prophesy. And it's another way of saying, hear the word of the Lord, right? Another reason why church community is so important is because Deborah's testimony is different than Dana's, different than Leah's, different than Sue's. And we all have different testimonies, right? And when we come together, we bring our proof of who God is, and we can share that, because then when I'm going through something, I can say, hey, I remember you went through something like this. What did you learn about God? What Bible verses brought you through? What mistakes did you make so that I can, well, don't just ask that to anybody you don't know very well, but you know, what was the process so that maybe I can not make some of the mistakes that one could make in the situation I'm in. Let's put it that way, right? Are you following? This is so important. And I love Psalm 103. It says, he made known his way to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He made his way known to Moses. Notice how King David, in his moment of need, said, you did this for Moses, you can do this for me. Right? And so I wrote down a couple names of God. Now, these aren't official names of God. In February, we went through a Names of God series that was so powerful. But these are names of God that are kind of like proof of testimony. How about the God of Israel, God who welcomes the rebellious and prodigal home, right? When I pray to the God of Israel, that's what I'm saying in one word. How about the God of Abraham, the God who brings you to fulfillment no matter your limitations? Isn't that powerful? You're immediately calling on a testimony in one word. How about God of Paul, one who can change a murderer into a missionary? Amen. How about God of Mary, one who fulfills promises and saves nations through simple obedience? This is a little bit more obscure one, but how about God of Phoebe, the God who provides for his family? Isn't that cool? So when you read a Bible story and you're feeling winded and you're feeling knocked out, get practical and say, look, you're the God of David. Look how much David messed up. And yet God was faithful to redeem. And he was even an ancestor of Jesus. If you can do that for David, if I mess up, you can be faithful still in my life, right? It's past proof. So my question is, are you getting your theology from your life circumstances or from God's reality? The answer to that will define what you're speaking over your bones, what you're speaking over yourself and your situations when you're winded. So that brings us to number R. Say R with me. R, right? I'm not usually this goofy, I promise. I don't know. It must be the sunshine or something here. Anyway. Before we get to R, the question for P is, who has a testimony in this area and who is God in this situation? You can talk to somebody and you can look in the Bible. Make sure that who you talk to and their testimony lines up with the Bible, right? It always will line up, and then speak that over your life, okay? So that's P. All right, R is repent and speak God's revelation. I don't know whose Bible this is, but they put it up here a few weeks ago. I hope they have another Bible, because they haven't had it for a while. Aha, I know whose Bible this is now. All right, so this is God's revelation. Ezekiel says, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. There is nothing as powerful as speaking God's word over your situation. One example is, you keep in perfect peace those whose thoughts are fixed on you, right? That can become a prayer. Jesus, I fix my thoughts on you and I receive your peace. That's a promise, right? And that's speaking the word of God. It's quoting God's word over your life. It's prophesying and speaking life over over your situation. Because the problem is when we need a CPR, usually it can turn very inward very quickly. We can get very, we can go to self-pity. We can say, oh, I'm just a victim to everything around me, when God has called us to be overcomers, right? And so instead, getting in the Word and speaking Bible verses over yourself can be one of the most breakthrough ways of CPRing and resurrecting dry bones. 12 years ago, I got to live in Israel, and some of you know some of the stories from my time there. I spent about 3 months learning Hebrew and living in the Sea of Galilee. And one of my favorite things to do was to walk to the end of the road where I lived and sit on a little bench. And on that bench, I should have had the photo. If I was Pastor Caleb, I would have had the photo. But anyway, sitting on the bench, and I could see the entire Sea of Galilee. And then there was the Mount of Beatitudes over to the right, and Tiberias down below. You've got Capernaum. You've got all the New Testament. Most of the New Testament with Jesus, it's happening around there. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And it was really beautiful. And I always thought, why was Jesus into the Sea of Galilee? Have you ever thought that? It's beautiful, but I personally like Jerusalem. That's my favorite place. So why did he like the Sea of Galilee? Well, there's something interesting about the Galilee. It's 700 feet below sea level and surrounded by 2,000 feet above sea level hills, if you could call that a hill, right? And so what it creates is this atmosphere and this environment where the wind can just blast through, and it gets very extreme weather patterns and can get very winded, right? So I thought, I wonder if Jesus liked to be here to show us that even in the most winded moments of life, he's with us, even down to the geography. Isn't that cool? Just think about that. So in Mark 3, Jesus had been healing many people and crowds were following him. And then in Mark 4, which is what we're about to read, Jesus is teaching to the crowds on the Galilee. Think about it. The one who formed the Galilee is standing next to the Galilee. I think he'd be very intentional about why he chose the Galilee. And again, it's a very winded place. So Mark 4, verse 35 says, "On that day when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go to the other side.' Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind," right? How many have felt a fierce gale of wind take you out? "And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up." I know most of us know this story, but hang in there. "Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on a cushion." That is not a bumper sticker that usually tells us, like, hey, get saved. And in the storm, Jesus is snoozing next to you, right? That's not what we say. We say Jesus is always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you, right? So there must be something going on that we're not seeing here. "They woke him up," I bet they did, "and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" What's really powerful about this verse, of course, is the whole miracle. But if you grew up in church or you've read the story a million times, you're probably zoning out a little bit with me. But hang in with me, because we're almost done. The story begins with Jesus saying, "Let us go to the other side." So the word of God that was spoken over the situation was, "Let us go to the other side." When we get winded, when we get hit by a strong, fierce gale of wind in our lives, maybe it's in your finances, or it's in a relationship, or it's in a goal that you had and you totally missed, or whatever it is, it's so easy to let that steal the word of God that was spoken over your life. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." So again, are you getting your theology from your life circumstances or from God's reality, right? Are you letting the confusing, disappointing places define who God is, or are you letting God define what's possible in the confusing, disappointing places of your life? That question will define whether you're going to do a CPR with Jesus or you're just going to let the dry bones be dry, right? Abraham and Sarah, They got a promise and didn't, and then they didn't prophesy life over themselves, right? They started to doubt and they went with a plan B. And then, of course, they had Ishmael with somebody else. How many Ishmaels are in our lives when we get winded and we say, I just got to survive? And we forget what God said that we could hold on to as an anchor for our souls. And by the way, if you don't know what you can hold on to, you can just get in here and get some promises of God and anchor yourself, right? But how many forget, and then we start making plan Bs in our own strength, and then we end up in a place that we never even dreamt possible because we turned our back on God when God said, come to me, all who are weary, when God said, approach my throne in a time of need, and instead we went with a plan B and forgot what he said to us. You following? So the question is, what area in your life needs a CPR this morning, right? So why don't you stand on your feet? Again, as I said, today's message was a little bit more basic, practical, but it's because I wanted to have something that you could actually hold on to, because life will take the wind out of you. Even if it hasn't yet, I don't know how it wouldn't yet, but if it hasn't yet, it will happen. And that's not because the devil's after us and it's all going down. It's because we're on earth still, right? And Jesus hasn't come back yet, right? And there's still some transforming to do. And if we are constantly wanting to be delivered out of what God wants to transform through us, then we'll never be effective the way we were created to be effective. Amen? So the earth is the only planet in our solar system that has the right air we were designed to breathe, right? So church, once you are born again, the only source of life that you are designed to breathe and thrive on, because that word thrive means to mature and grow, is the Holy Spirit breath, right? When you stop breathing, when you become like dry bones, which happens maybe to us or because of choices we made, either way, God says, I want to CPR you. I want to come down. I want to breathe my life into your nostrils again. I want to put tendons and bones, and I want to rise up the dry bones and form an army again, because you are a warrior, right? So Jesus, right now, we just thank you that you have not forsaken us. You didn't take Ezekiel there to say, look at all the mess that the Israelites made. Look at the mess they're in, and this is ridiculous. You said, we're going to prophesy life. We're going to speak life. We're going to heal the brokenhearted. We're going to resurrect what seems dead. We're going to resurrect dead expectations and dead dreams. We're going to resurrect. And so Jesus, teach us to commit our lives to you. Teach us to command ourselves to put our faith in you and not something else. God, show us how to speak past proof over our lives instead of other words that are tearing ourselves down or tearing others down. Remind us to actually speak of testimony. And Father, I just pray that a spirit of revelation would come into every heart here in this place. God, that people who have tried reading the Bible and it's just felt like words, that the word of God is going to come alive to you this week. I just bless you with Holy Spirit encounters as you breathe in and you breathe out. It doesn't need to be some magical experience. It's just Jesus with you. It's Holy Spirit in you making the words come alive. The Bible is the only book where the author reads it with you. That was written thousands of years ago, right? So I'm going to read this last verse in Ezekiel 37, and then we're just going to bless our lives together. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, I will put my spirit, which means breath, within you, and you will come to life. So I just want to do something a little different. Normally I do a blessing over you, but we're going to say the word live together. Can we just practice? Can you say live?
Live.
All right. How many know we don't say that enough? Because there's a lot of dead things. There's a lot of dry bones, whether it's in your life or it's in our region. But we're going to bless those areas today. So I'm going to say the area, and then we're going to say live together. All right? So Jesus, right now, over every area of disappointment and confusion, we say,
live.
God, over every marriage or future marriage or relationship or parenting relationship or friendship represented in this house, we say,
live.
Over every mindset, we say,
live.
Over every dream and over every life vision that has turned to dry bones, we say,
live.
Over our health,
live.
And over our habits,
live.
Over Ithaca and Dryden and Cortland and Cornell and any other area represented, we say,
live.
And over America, we say,
live.
Jesus, we just say live. And it's not by the power of our words, but we're saying we're going to prophesy life where there has been death spoken, where there has been agreement with just giving up, where there has been agreement with just being winded and with the wind knocked out of you is the new normal. We say that's not normal when you're born again. And so, Jesus, we just give you permission to CPR our life this week. Bring an area to mind. And maybe some of us are going to get regions on our mind. You're going to say, man, I'm just getting a burden to pray for Ithaca or pray for Groton or wherever you are. Maybe it's for your workplace. You're going to get a burden to pray like you haven't prayed before. And God is saying, that's because I want you to intercede and do CPR and say, no, I commit Ithaca to you, Jesus. This is yours. So Jesus, we just say yes to being a witness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.